Good afternoon, guys. Hope all of you are done with your lunch. And we should start in just about a minute, giving it one more minute just in case people would like to still walk in. And we are going to discuss around the 2013 SharePoint on-premises and the hybrid story. While others come in, just giving it, utilizing that minute, have any one of you been investing on the hybrid workloads with SharePoint and SharePoint Online? In like Exchange hybrid or SharePoint hybrid? Well, we would, what I would try to do is we would try to look into what is hybrid for sure, but we would also look into the first question which I would start off with is why even hybrid? And let's see by the end of the session if I'm able to self-answer that question to you guys or if that still remains unanswered. So that's the objective of the session. Okay, and I think we are good. So I already spoke about what the session is. Known slide to most of you, join the IT Pro track. There are things on Yammer. There are certain things which may be very user-centric, like one example came up in my last session, which was like not able to sync certain folders. So those things we can follow up even later on the Yammer part of it. For those of you who just joined, my name is Manas Biswas, and I work with Escalation Services for Microsoft Cloud Workloads, which is Azure and Office 365. Being a part of a team called the Beta Support Team, and what we do is we always work on the next version, so the version which is going to come down in, you know, in some time to the world. That's what we work on to ensure we do the testing, deployments, and documentation, and you know, those kind of things. So today, as I said, our goal is to look at SharePoint and the hybrid workload of SharePoint. Of course, hybrid is a terminology which is across workloads. When I say across workloads, it's across SharePoint, Exchange. Link has its hybrid presence and many more. So the question which I asked you, saying why hybrid? Let me actually tell you a short story to kind of bring in some context to what I'm going to talk about. All of you have your on-premises environment, right? Contoso.com or your domain.com, which has SharePoint, it has Exchange, it has Link, it has your custom applications, SAP, blah, blah, blah. Me or one of my colleagues just walks to your office and says, you know, we have Office 365, so migrate, shut down your on-prem. Would you allow me the next time inside your office? You would say, no, don't allow this guy. He's asking me to shut down my on-prem, right? Your on-premises still has to exist. Okay, because your on-premises environment has many things which are unique to your office, to your organization. Okay, so going to that story, we all know that Office 365 is what something which you would want to invest on, and you get your Office 365 environment, right? So let's take the example of SharePoint. Within your SharePoint, you would have multiple site collections, something which are related to your human resources, your HR, your IT sites, okay? And your goal would be to migrate all or at least some of them to cloud, correct? And now comes in the next scenario, which is, do you think that you would be able to migrate all of your site collections in one day? Next to impossible, right? It could be, it has to be a phased migration because sites, even if you have a workload which can be migrated on the same day. The challenge is the amount of data which is there, the migration may take days. Okay? Now is the most interesting part. You being an IT savvy, and which we all are in this room, okay, think of the person who supports finance in your org. Okay? He comes to office, he searches for monthly pay or some sort of finance document on his search page in the on-prem, right? Would he get results? No, because what happened? Yesterday night, in the background, you have migrated the finance site collection to cloud, right? So he comes to you and says, I lost all my finance documents. And you console him saying, no, you have not lost it. It's there. It's just migrated to the cloud. So go and search in this new URL. He is happy, he goes away. Then comes another three guys, and then comes 15, and then comes 5,000 email in your inbox because your finance site is migrated, your HR site is migrated, and people are not finding documents. And you know, you just answer phone calls or do mails. That's where hybrid comes into play. Now, the same story, let's look at it in a different way. Assume you have deployed hybrid in a way we are going to talk about. For me as a finance guy, all that I want is when I search for a document which is related to finance, I should see it in the search results. I don't care whether it is coming from online, because that's what we as IT guys understand where the document is, correct? So when you set up a hybrid infrastructure, for an end user, it doesn't matter how you are doing a migration to the cloud, and whether you migrate a site collection today or whether you migrate a site collection 3 months down the line, because for him, he gets to see the same document being returned either from on-premises or from cloud infrastructure. So that's what hybrid is, and there is where it starts playing a role. Okay? So let's look into a couple of other things. The hybrid infrastructure which I'm going to talk about today is definitely SharePoint, but that is exactly the same scenario which applies to other workloads like Exchange, Link, where your mailboxes are, and you know where your presence information is, and all that. So migration to cloud is where you would feel the first requirement of having a hybrid workload in place. Okay? And once you have the hybrid infrastructure, you migrate in your own pace, right? There was a question which came up in my previous session where they have customizations. And I mentioned, well, here is a site which will help you do an analysis of what you can migrate as is and what you need to restructure. And assume the list of things which needs to be restructured is long, which means you take days to migrate, right? And to do that, if this hybrid workload just goes ahead and ensures that you have everything set the way which you have today for your end users and they don't suffer. So the next question which comes in is hybrid only required during migration? Well, no. We have our guidelines around what type of documents you would want to first migrate into cloud. There can be company or organizational requirements saying, I don't want to migrate my HR data into the cloud. I don't want to migrate this set of data into the cloud right now. Okay, but I want to do it 6 months down the line. So it's always a ongoing requirement that will continue rendering you results from both on-premises as well as online. And that's from a search perspective. As I go to other workloads in SharePoint, I'm going to showcase the value there as well. Okay. To that story which I told you, there is another aspect to it. There are people in your organization who travel like day in, day out. 21 days they are in a flight and 9 days they are in office. Okay? So for those users, what's important is they should be able to go ahead and get results, or if it is search, from their on-premises environment as well. Which means now the requirement is the other way, where a user who is traveling outside of office or outside of CorpNet, okay, would also want to get results from within the SharePoint which you have in your on-prem. Hybrid allows you to do that. Irrespective of where you search from, be it SharePoint online site or be it SharePoint on-premises site, you will get to see results from both places if you are authorized to see it, which means we are not doing anonymous queries. We are doing security-trimmed search results in context of the user who is making the query. And as we go further into this session, we will see how secure your data is. Okay? The last part which I want to mention on this is hybrid in SharePoint Online and SharePoint 2013 is not done by crawling, which means we do not crawl SharePoint on-premises from SharePoint Online or SharePoint Online from SharePoint On-Prem. With SharePoint 2013, we have a functionality called Remote Index, and hybrid works on that principle, which is querying the remote index using OAuth as your underlined technology. Okay. The reason I wanted to call that out is there has whenever I have done this session, a question which always came up was how much bandwidth consumption would go in when I'm setting up hybrid, because I have to crawl my SharePoint on-premises from SharePoint Online or vice versa. So SharePoint Hybrid works on a query model, not a crawling model. Okay. Let's get into more details. Again, coming back to this agenda, and right now, the first thing which we need to talk around is identity considerations. Okay. Even before I go back to my slide, let's visualize the scenario, what we are doing, and this is related to the scenario which I spoke about in the beginning. For us, who would be actually trying to deploy this or set up this hybrid, okay, the first thing which will come up is how secure is the environment? And how are we ensuring we are getting security-trimmed search results? Now, when we talk about search in SharePoint 2013, when a user types in a keyword on the search page and hits enter, what happens in the background? The keyword is actually, you know, taken back by the query processing component, and then there is an ACL match which is done. Okay? So there is a security trimming and an ACL match done for the user, and then the set of results are returned from index and the user sees the result. So what is super important in hybrid is identity, which means the user who is going to make the query, the user who is going to type the query, needs to be the same user which has been migrated to Office 365 or which resides in Office 365. So Office 365 and SharePoint Online has an Azure AD in the background. The first thing for setting up hybrid is to ensure that we synchronize the user from on-premises AD to Office 365 Azure AD. And there was a session which they spoke about a component called directory synchronization, which does that. So the first requirement definitely is directory synchronization. And directory synchronization comes with an option called password sync. Now, what do we do in password sync? We do not synchronize the password as is from Active Directory. Okay? The directory synchronization tool, or the name of the tool is called dirsync, synchronizes a hash of the user password in a read-only format to the Azure AD so that the end user experiences whatever is the username and password they use to sign to, you know, in an on-prem environment, they will use the same username and password to sign into SharePoint Online. And I'm going to show you a demo about how easy it is. It's not like it needs a huge set of configurations. You, of course, need to plan it. There are planning guidelines around how do you do dirsync in a multi-forest, how do you do when you have domains, and you know, stuff like that. But you know, the user identity is definitely the key part around going ahead and getting hybrid done. Now, if you do just directory synchronization, okay, the end user experience would be they will be able to use the same username and password as they use to sign in to their on-premises environment, okay? But every time they try to sign into the online environment, they will be challenged for username and password. And they have to type the same password, which means you do not have two sets of password. The same password as you use to log in today to your on-prem is synchronized, which means if you change your password, it automatically gets synchronized and you use the same password. But what is important is, you know, you have to type it again and again. In order to come out of this experience, you can deploy ADFS, or Active Directory Federation Services. ADFS 2.0 and 3.0 are both supported for Office 365. The ADFS 3.0 is what we have in Windows 2012 R2. Once you set up a federated trust, this experience will go away, and people will just type in their username, and then it would be a claims reference which, or a token which should be issued to the user from their on-premises ADFS server, which is there, and then there is a security STS to STS communication, and the user gets to see a single sign-on experience after that, which means the user no more needs to type in his password as long as he is logged into his domain. So ADFS is an optional requirement for hybrid to be there. It just enhances the user experience, but dirsync is a must, okay? Because dirsync takes the user identity. So, what I just spoke about, the identity crisis. In Office 365, we have three types of user identities. Okay, the first one is cloud identity, which means the users are created within the Office 365 console or in the backend within Azure Active Directory. The users are created and managed there. The end user experience in that case would be they would be using one set of username and password for the on-premises environment, and for the cloud users, they would be having another set of username and password. Okay, so two totally separate set of username and password. The second option is directory synchronization and with password sync. The reason we have an asterisk there is you could choose to sync your password, you could choose not to sync your password, but most of the deployments we see that people do sync their passwords because that gives the liberty to the people to sign in with the same set of credentials and not remember two sets of password. Anyway, all of us have too many passwords to remember, right? One for Hotmail, one for Yahoo, one for domain, one for Facebook, one for blah, blah, blah. So it's just one less password to be remembered with this. And of course, the last one is federated identity where you get the single sign-on experience. So, what happens is, if you go with, once you actually go out and deploy the, or rather, once you actually go out and synchronize the user, okay, you could actually implement additional securities like multi-factor authentication. Have you guys been exploring multi-factor authentication? How does that look into so it's quite okay. We have a raise of hands, so of course, multi-factor authentication is quite interesting. Okay, you use the same set of users to synchronize it. And what you could do is, once you turn on multi-factor authentication, what would happen is, when a user tries to sign in, and assuming the user has his phone number given, the user will receive a call, okay? Or the user will receive a text. Once you type in the, once you acknowledge the call, it's only after that that the user will be able to sign in. So your phone becomes an active device. Where you have to acknowledge after you have typed in the password. And remember, where is the password? The password is in your local Active Directory. Okay? So, what is happening in that stage is, in your on-premises environment, you have, of course, all of the security, right? And then, on that case, you don't have to worry about anything from a security perspective, because after that security, the next layer of security is that phone acknowledgement thing which you are doing. Okay. So something which I wanted to call out is those all things you could do. So I spoke about this just a few minutes back. A cloud identity, you have your Office 365 environment for Bob. Okay. You in this Office 365 environment, you have the Office 365 admin portal, your Office activation service, Exchange mailbox access, SharePoint, everything gets covered with this user. And if you are going with a cloud-only user, you can create cloud-only users or, you know, the Azure Active Directory users using three different ways. One is, there is a, in the portal, there is an UI which guides you, types you to, you know, wants you to type the username, password, everything. We have an option of a spreadsheet as well. You can download a sample spreadsheet, type in the information of the user, like display name, login name, and, you know, the user email address, phone number, and import from that spreadsheet, and all of those entries which you have made will be converted to a user account. And of course, the favorite of everyone here, you can use PowerShell to go out and create and script users. So you can actually go out and have a bulk creation of users using that. So, as I mentioned, directory synchronization, think of those tasks which I mentioned of user creation. We just decide to create users in Office 365, okay? And I tell you that, you know what, we need to create 20,000 users. Imagine you writing a script, okay, and spending some time to create the users. But imagine you use the first option, a wizard, which you need to run 20,000 times in order to create a user. That's another benefit of DirSync. You once install it, you pick your on-premises users, you synchronize them to the cloud, and I will show you a demo as to how do you do it. So your user account creation is still in your local Active Directory. Okay. And of course, as I said, if you want to enhance the security, and if you want to give your users a single sign-on experience, okay, you have to do single sign-on. But this password synchronization option, which I am mentioning here, okay, kind of gives you a single sign-on experience. When I say kind of, what happens is, your login ID is like this, mbiswas@microsoft.com, and your password is password. So I type the same while logging into my laptop, and then I want to browse to an online site. I will have to type the same password, right, if I'm doing DirSync. Once I do that, I say, remember me, or keep me signed in, okay? The next time I browse to it, from the same laptop using the same password, IE still allows you to sign in with that. Okay, so kind of single sign-on experience, which has, but of course ADFS has its own advantages. So this is what I just mentioned to you, directory synchronization and password sync. It just goes ahead and ensures that you have the same set of user communicating and ensuring your on-premises Active Directory is always on sync. Okay. We will come back to ADFS, but let's quickly look at a demo around how easy it is to configure this. So what you see right now is my on-premises environment. Okay, as it comes up. The common view for an Active Directory. I am creating a new user here. And the new user is called user78. Just thinking of a name. And say the last name is user. Okay, and I'm saying just the regular things, password never expires. And typing in the on-premises password. This is what an administrator does. And the user gets created. Okay, so if I go here, I should see user 78 somewhere. Okay, here, this user has got created. And now, in this on-premises environment, okay, my next task is to synchronize this user. So what I have done is, this is my domain controller. I have actually gone ahead and installed directory synchronization in a separate box. And I just go ahead and run an incremental sync for the user. But, you know, so that the user actually starts synchronizing. For those of you who are familiar with MIS client, you can pull up MIS client and see that user is indeed synchronizing. Okay, it says in progress. And as this in progress gets to success, we should be able to log into the Azure AD, and I should be able to see the user has synchronized. If you see, there is one add here. Okay, and if I go to the details of this user, it shows it has actually gone ahead and synced user 78. And now this user 78, which I created, is actually having this password and the user synchronized to my Azure AD. So let's log into my online environment, the Office 365. And if I go to active users, and I see a bunch of users there, but I'm trying to refresh the page, and then I will pull up for user. So there is my user 78, which I just created in my on-prem, and this user has been synced to my Office 365 environment. Okay, so all that is required after this is to just assign a license, and this user is available for any of the workloads like mailbox creation or SharePoint or, for the matter of fact, anything which is required. Okay, so coming back to my... So the main thing on this one, after you have synchronized the users, is to look at the infrastructure for hybrid. Okay. Remember, I said that for an end user, it doesn't matter much. All that he knows is, all that he sees is the end result. But you definitely need to look into certain infrastructural conditions. Okay. What are those? You need to look at reverse proxies. You need to look at secure channel certificates. Okay. So when we look into reverse proxies, okay. What are reverse proxies? Just for a quick definition, it retrieves resources on behalf of a client for one or more servers. And here is a list of reverse proxies which we support. We support TMG, we support web application proxy, we support F5 Big IP. Okay, and here is a list of other supported reverse proxies, but the first ones we have documented step by step as to what you need to do it. Okay, but the other ones are also there, but we may refer to certain third-party documentation for getting those working. So scenarios which we need to look into, okay, is typically considered on the topology considerations. When we talk about hybrid, there are three types of topologies which are present. One is called outbound, another is inbound, and the third one is a mix of two, which is bidirectional. Okay, so let's look into those, and then we will come back a slide and I'll talk about it. So remember, there are three topologies for hybrid. The first one is outbound topology. Now, how do we call it outbound, or why do we call it outbound? Outbound is outbound from your network, okay, which is your on-premises network. When you are trying to set up hybrid so that people will be able to make calls or search calls from within your network and get to see results from SharePoint online, that's when it's outbound. Okay, so what you see in the intranet section is your SharePoint 2013 server. You will be able to, the end user will be able to type in a keyword on the SharePoint 2013 server and get to see results from SharePoint online environment. Okay, the next one is inbound. Inbound is when you are trying to type in the keyword on the SharePoint online environment, okay, and you are trying to get results from SharePoint on-premises environment. Okay, so your on-premises is what you see in the intranet, and what you are querying from is the Microsoft data center, that SharePoint URL which you have, and you are getting to see results. So that's inbound. And of course, what you do is you have a two-way bidirectional topology, which means that you have deployed inbound as well as you have deployed outbound. Okay, and irrespective of wherever the users are querying from, means if they are business users, okay, and if they are, you know, users who actually go ahead and get to query from SharePoint on-premise or online, they would be able to get to see results from both ways. Okay, any specific questions around these three topologies, because this is what builds the base of where you want to set up hybrid from. Okay, if there are, please stop me and then we can discuss. But this is where ideally everyone would want to go to when they deploy hybrid. I mean to say this topology, which is both ways. And that way they do not need to worry about if they are in their corpnet or if they are outside their corpnet, and they would be able to get to see results. So let's look at this diagram, which talks about how does actually the hybrid, okay, works. Coming to this, okay, if we see a authenticated user is actually going ahead and making a query to the on-premises search center, okay, and so what does the user typically do when they actually go ahead and sign in to their on-premises environment? They would type in a keyword, right, which they want to get search results. At this stage, what will happen? The on-premises search center will make a call to the query processing component, okay, and the query processing component would then go ahead and get to the index component part of it, which will then go ahead and do an ACL match, okay, to ensure that yes, this is a valid user and this should see search results. Once they do that, at that stage the results are not shown if there is hybrid. At that stage, what will happen is there will be a call made to a query processing component, which is, you know, which is on the SharePoint online, and at this stage comes the role of the user, which we synchronized using Dirt Sync. Okay, this is where the user will be able to go ahead and know that I am a valid user in SharePoint Online. After this is done, then it remains the same. A call is made to the index component, the ACL match is done, the results are returned, and the user gets to see the search results. Okay, so a diagrammatic flow around how actually the users will be able to see search results is being, you know, in this slide. So let's look at a quick demo around how does this user experience look like. If you see this right now, what we see on your screen, I have my on-premises environment. I have a search center called SharePointWeb.hybrid.spocloud.com, /search. That's where is my on-premises environment, and here is my online environment, hybrid.sharepoint.com. Okay, so trhybrid.sharepoint.com. So I'm signed in with a user which is called SP user, okay, and I should be able to go ahead and make changes so that I am getting to see search results from the SharePoint online environment. To set this up, the core configuration steps required before we come into this step is called server-to-server authentication, okay, which is what we would not show in today's session because that gets into a details around the infrastructure configuration. I have detailed information around how do you set this up, but once the server-to-server authentication is set up, from a hybrid standpoint, what is required is you need to create a result source, okay, which is when you click on search result sources, okay, you need to create a result source where you need to define where you are trying to query from. So I've given it a name called OneDrive. You have to choose remote SharePoint. You have to define the SharePoint online root site collection URL. And if you want to do any sort of query transformation, I have given a query transformation here to return my results from SharePoint online as well for my OneDrive, okay, which I'm going to come back and talk again. But you need to give a query transformation part of it, and then you are all set to go ahead and query and get to see results. What is the first test you should do in order to ensure that your configuration is correct? Okay, you have to click on, I will activate this, okay, and then you have to click on test source. What it does at this time is, okay, I will go back to my central administration and show you this. Give me a minute, because I had the other source activated. Okay, so what you need to do is you need to go back to your SharePoint central administration, and you need to ensure that you are able to go ahead and test this configuration which you did. Once you have tested that, okay, from your search service application, your configuration would be to create a query rule so that you are able to make queries, which I'm going to show you in a minute. So I'm going to my search service application. Okay, I'm going to my result sources and coming back to this result source and doing a test source. Okay, so what it does, it ensures that it is this environment is able to successfully make a query to your to the online environment which is there. Okay, so once that is done, you are sure that your infrastructure configuration which you have done, which is server-to-server authentication, and which is this result source, has been set up successfully. The first step towards when you should see such results. What is the next thing which you should do? The next thing which you are supposed to do is to configure a query rule, okay, which is again just below what you did in the result source. You have to choose a result source which you created, Okay, and here you have to create the, you have to configure the result source. In this query rule, I'm going to show you what I configured. You give it a name, okay, and the only additional configuration which is required is to define what, where you are sending the query to. So which source? This is the result source, and then you need to define, does this show as a separate block, or do you want to see the results in a separate page? Okay, and that is all which is required here. It says this block is always shown above my core results web part. Once this is done, you are all set to go ahead and see the search results. Okay, and here is what an end user would do. They would browse to the search center, or they would browse to their SharePoint on-premises site. Okay, ensure they have chosen everything, and they search for something which is like, I'm searching for PPTX or PPT or something like that. You would see that the results are coming from that URL which I have specified in SharePoint Online, which is trhybrid.sharepoint.com. Okay, I'm searching for something which exists in on-premise as well as online, like the like wildcard search star. Okay, and it will, because it resides in both places, because there are some relevant results which are there in both places, it will return a result block for SharePoint Online, and it will return a you know, the other results without a block, which shows here is my SharePoint Online results, look at this URL .sharepoint.com, and here is my on-premises results. Okay, so that's what it does. And you know, because it is set up two ways, if you go ahead and search from within the SharePoint Online, okay, which I search for like PPTX, okay, I should be able to just go ahead and get to see. Nice. Okay, that's what always happens in a demo. Give me a minute, guys. Okay, so because I'm seeing this, here is the same Contoso pharmaceutical results, medicals, PPT, which I was seeing in my on-prem. So it doesn't matter where I am searching from. I just should be a user who is a valid user and authorized to see that document, and that's what it goes ahead and renders the document from there. Okay, so coming back to what I was showing you, coming back to my PPT again, give me a minute. So when we talk about hybrid, okay, an important part of it is search is just one aspect of it. And the reason I wanted to bring up search is that's the first requirement which people would typically come up with when they are doing a migration. Because search, as I mentioned in the previous session as well, for those of you who were there, search has become a key or an integral requirement of our today's life. We should be able to look for and find the document. So that's why search is definitely a workload which is key. What we need to look into is definitely the other workloads. Okay, what are the other workloads which are supported with you know, hybrid from a SharePoint standpoint? Business Connectivity Services, which is BCS. Okay, so you have your SQL Server on your on-premises. Okay, you need to be able to go ahead and get some data and display it in a SharePoint Online site collection. Hybrid workload is supported there. Okay, and we would also like to look into something from collaboration and social, okay, as well as OneDrive, where all of these workloads supports hybrid. Okay, so business connectivity services, trying to go ahead and talk about it real quick, because anyway, our session was from, you know, for search. Business connectivity services is supported in Office 365 only with OData source. You will not be able to directly make a connectivity to your SQL Server, which is in your on-prem. Okay, so if you have OData connectivity, that's what will go out and give you the ability to do business connectivity services. So search, just a quick recap, We say SharePoint on-premises search index can contain anything which is relevant, which the user would want to look into. The results would be returned. It would be security trimmed. SharePoint Online again goes ahead and gets to see its own index, which means if you look back at what I said for the last couple of minutes, SharePoint on-premises is crawling its own content. SharePoint Online, it's crawling his own content. What you are trying to do is to do a query and get to see the data from the index based on the context of the user. Okay? And that is what is hybrid search. Okay? Remember, the most important part of this is the user identity. So if you are setting up hybrid, you need to ensure that the user identity is proper across both of these workloads, which I just mentioned. So when we come into business connectivity services in a little more detail, business connectivity services can be related to SQL, as I gave you this example of OData. It enables the user to publish on-premises data to a list, an application, or even create an app. Okay? So it enables federated users to gain the access to on-premises data without even logging into their environment in on-prem. As long as it can authenticate to SharePoint Online, he should be able to go ahead and see the data in a secured manner for the data which is residing in an on-premises, on-premises environment. It requires a two-way authentication topology, which means out of those three slides which I said, one-way outbound, one-way inbound, and two-way, this is only possible if you do a two-way topology. And most important part is the last line, which says we only do OData source, which means if you try to connect to SQL using 1433, you will not be able to connect, but you need to create a OData source for getting the data over. Okay. With that, we would come to one more of the workloads which got introduced with SharePoint 2013 SP1. Okay. Did you guys notice a change after you deployed SP1 in on-premises? Well, there was a significant change which came in other than the enhancements which we did. We have a tab which says Office 365 in an on-premises SharePoint environment. Okay, that gives you two options. One is you now have the choice to host your user's My Site in the cloud or in Office 365, even though your environment is on-premise. Okay, so what happens is OneDrive for Business could be either redirected to your on-premises environment or to your online environment. Think of the benefits which you have if you have it from in an online environment. Okay. You have, first of all, you have that one TV space. You have all of the Office 365 OneDrive benefits I spoke about share externally. You have OneDrive Sync. So users, though they can have their entire environment in on-prem, okay, the users can have their My Site in the cloud. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to configure that. All that you would need is an Office 365 subscription and a SharePoint 2013 with SP1 installed on it. And that's an optional choice, which means you choose which users can host their My Sites in cloud and which user can host their My Site in an on-prem environment. Okay, so here is what you see when you log into your SharePoint Admin Center that I showed some time back. You would be able to show hide options. You would be able to optionally choose between Yammer and the default newsfeed options once you get to choose this option which I'm talking about. Okay. And with that, we would go to a quick demo to see how that works out. Give me a minute, guys. Okay. So I'm back to my on-premises environment, and as you see this, and I'm in my central administration, and this is the new link which I'm talking about. Once you install SP1, you'd see that there is an option called Office 365. Okay, this new link, this is my on-premises environment, right? And here is where you'd see two options. One is configure Yammer, and of course the other one is configure OneDrive and site links. As you click on configure OneDrive and site links in your on-prem, okay, all that you need to do is specify where is the my site URL. If you don't specify anything here, it gets to all of the users' my site will be created in your on-prem, but you need definitely some expensive amount of hardware in order to give everyone that 1 TB space and the, you know, the benefits of it. So you could choose to redirect the users to the my site. And here is the second setting. Here it says either all of the users' my site would be redirected to Office 365, or you could use an audience and say, here is my cloud users who would go to Office 365, and here is my other users who still have their my sites in on-prem. So it gives you that option, okay? And it also gives you the option to redirect the sites link to Office 365. You click on OK on this, and after this, what will happen is, if a user logs into his on-prem environment, which is here what I have this case, and clicks on OneDrive, take a look at that URL below in the screen. It's taking me to tr-hybrid-my.sharepoint.com, which means it's redirecting the user to either create a OneDrive on the OneDrive on the cloud, or if an OneDrive already exists, if you see right now, it takes me to the OneDrive which I have in my SharePoint Online. Okay? And then that's what it actually goes ahead and gets to see for all of the users who have chosen, who are a part of that audience. Okay? So flexibility of either having the OneDrive in on-prem or the OneDrive in cloud. Okay. So just a little background information around what happens and how do we manage it. This is not a just a redirection from a user perspective. We actually create a property called hybrid personal site URL. Okay. So if you see this, it says this is a PowerShell which I have, and it's posted out in my blog, which I have a reference later on this. You could actually go out and run a query on the user profile, and you should be able to see all of the my sites, all of those who has this information populated. And as they have this, they will be actually going ahead and getting their my sites in the cloud environment and not on an on-prem. Okay. Coming back to my slide, and here is the other one which we are going to talk about. When we say social, okay, in our previous session, we discussed around all of the social features which are available, and this question comes up saying, what's the social hybrid experience? Well, using on-premises and online social capabilities is still a disconnected information, okay? So what happens is we do have the OneDrive, which is in place. We do have BCS, which is there in hybrid standpoint. But the social now has a story, which is, of course, as we said, requested all of you guys also to go back and check, which is integrating the Yammer into SharePoint resolves this disconnect. So that settings icon, which I was showing you, if you click on and say, I don't want to go and do newsfeed, I want to actually go out and do Yammer. So Yammer actually goes ahead and gets into this, you know, information of hybrid, which says that it's still an integrated experience. And Yammer gives you that SharePoint hybrid environment, the same set of users who clicks and sign in and gets to Yammer on SharePoint Online and, you know, just gets to do the post and all of this information which I just mentioned. Okay. So I have just one small demo to show it out to you here before we can open it up for questions. But if you go to your online, the SharePoint admin center, okay, and if you click on settings, here is where you get to control which option to choose, use Yammer.com service or use SharePoint newsfeed option. Okay, so that's what gives you this control. And of course, in the SharePoint on-premises part, how you integrate it is what I showed you some time back on this central administration. Okay, so when you go to the central administration part of it, give me a minute to go back to my central administration screen. And with Office 365, you would be able to go ahead and get to that integration part of it done. Give me a minute. I'm not able to go to the central administration part. Okay, let me open a new central administration here. So if I click on Office 365, here is how you configure the Yammer experience, which I just mentioned about. Okay, and activate Yammer service, and that gives you that social story from a hybrid standpoint. Okay, with that, I open up the floor for questions. And guys, you mentioned also saying that there are, you know, in this presentations which we did, I have actually posted out quite a lot of relevant links. Implementing hybrid scenarios with Office 365, there is a courseware on Channel 9. I have a end-to-end video around how do you do these configurations. Okay. There is our hybrid documentation on TechNet. And this is a 5-part blog series which I have, which talks about how do you take a SharePoint on-prem, which is standalone today, okay? And how do you have one-way outbound, one-way inbound, two-way OneDrive integration, and OneDrive as a search vertical end-to-end. So you could refer those in case you are planning to go out and set it up. And if you are interested in video, the video is in channel9.msdn.com. Okay, and with that, open to questions. There's a question here.
Question that's maybe primitive, but what would you what would you tell us to do in a case when we do not have a self-hosted SharePoint, but simply a directory tree, a Windows share with Active Directory-based access rights, and how do we best proceed to integrate this with an instance of SharePoint Online?
Okay, good question. So the question is, we do not have SharePoint on-premises, but we have directory, which we have, say, a folder structure, which is security trimmed in on-premises. Of course, at that stage, you could choose to have a SharePoint if at all it's needed for your on-premises users, but you could definitely go the cloud-only way, okay? Which means you do a directory synchronization to synchronize your users so that they don't have to remember two sets of username and passwords, and then migrate these documents to SharePoint Online and have a permission structure created there, you know, and go with it.
Could you give me a hint what to read, where to look for to migrate the data with the directory rights okay. I have assigned to it?
Very good question. So there is out of the box to migrate a data from a non-SharePoint source to a SharePoint environment is almost like, you know, moving the data from scratch and going out and giving permissions for like that. But there are some solutions which people have to kind of go out and do this. Of course, there are custom ways of doing it. Of course, there are, you could definitely leverage some client-side object model, or the other option which I was talking about is migrate it to a SharePoint on-premise and then build that integration. So there's nothing that which I have as a ready read, but maybe if we connect, I can give you some hints around what you could do and kind of choose to have one of the options. But I think if there is no SharePoint on-prem, which you have as of today, you can definitely look at a cloud-only solution with a DIR sync, because what remains constant at that stage is the user does not need to remember one more set of username and password, right? And doesn't need to worry about the 45-day password change, two IEs and all that, right? So that way. But I can give you, we can discuss around some of the options, and you may have to choose the best one because it's migrating from non-SharePoint to a SharePoint source. I can connect maybe in the break. Does that answer the question? Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah. Here's a question.
I have a question about maybe know about this scenario. So imagine you're a big company and you have a portal consisting of on-prem portal, on-prem SharePoint, and you have a number of sites, and now you want to share and allow your partner to search for documents from one of these sites, but you don't have this partner in your on-prem Active Directory. And it was always a trouble for on-prem installations, but can hybrid scenario help to resolve this problem?
So if I understand, just to ensure I've understood your question correctly, you are saying that you have a on-premises portal with multiple site collections, but you want the ability to only search within certain sites on-prem and certain sites online and not all site collection?
Yeah.
Okay, so great scenario. You can do that today with with the user permission itself. Best option I would want to go with is security groups. Create a set of security groups, assign permission. So, giving an example, you have site one and site two. You want that user one should be able to search in site one and site two as well as online. Make them a part of a security group, add it to SharePoint, and add it to SharePoint online. And then user two should only be able to search from online. Okay, just add user two to a separate security group and give him permission. So that's how you should be able to go with it, because results which we are returning are always security trimmed in context of the user who is making the query.
So you will still need to modify your on-prem Active Directory to add these security groups, but that's the only change, right?
That's one way of doing it. If it is less number of users, you can individually go out and add the users also. But when you individually add users to SharePoint, you kind of have to do a tedious job. Giving an example, if you add a security group to SharePoint, okay, which is in Active Directory, henceforth what you need to do is you just need to add the right users to the security group. You are still not required to go out and add it to SharePoint, right? So you're saving a step in the work. So that way. So that's what I was suggesting, the security group way. You can individually, of course, add users to SharePoint. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions, guys? Okay, if there are more questions, I'd be around, so you can catch me or the Yammer group. But I definitely want to hear back from you around the session. So please do give your feedback so that we know actually what you'd like to listen from us or how was this session. Thank you once again for joining. Have a great day. Thanks.